we greet our patroness, Saint Philomena, asking her to intercede particularly for England.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, et benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre, amen.
Welcome to another edition of The Children of Mary. We begin singing to our Heavenly Mother, Ave Maria. We could always, if you like, try to find ways to sing the Ave Maria to Our Lady. Maybe there are some composers listening, hopefully. Wouldn't that melody, O Jesus Christ, Remember, that would be a nice one to sing an Ave Maria to. I'll just try it. And then if there's a composer, they can finish off the rest and maybe they could send me something.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum.
And then the rest, you know?
La, 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 la.
So we're in singing mood today. Apparently, the English are renowned for their singing. The English are said to be good singers. So, from England, we should have these hymns of love going to Our Lady's heavenly throne. Today, we speak about apostles of Mary, becoming apostles of Mary as we continue our cycle. I have in my hand a book written by a lady called Anne Vale. Some of you probably already know it. It's published by Gracewing. It's called Shrines of Our Lady in England. On the front cover, it has a picture of the statue of Our Lady of Walsingham. And I've just opened up a page which has a map showing shrines of Our Lady in England. I can see St. Albans, Caversham, Willesden in London. Sorry, I'm a bit biased towards London. Sudbury, Muswell, Aylesford, Winchester, and so on and so forth. There's a map that has all these different Marian shrines around the country. Let us send so many prayers going up to heaven's, to Our Lady's throne. Today, we're going to dedicate being apostles of Mary, particularly to England. Now, we've spoken about apostles of Mary generally. Today, we want to concentrate on England, because it's possible England could convert in the near distant future. That's a great possibility. England, which was known as the dowry of Mary. There are saints who have prayed tirelessly for this country, from St. Paul of the Cross to St. Jose Maria Escrivá, who visited England, who even visited one of those Marian shrines that I spoke of, Willesden, which is in Harleston, northwest London. And outside Our Lady of Willesden, you have a little image of St. Thomas More, who visited the shrine, and St. Jose Maria Escrivá. I'd recommend our listeners to go and visit Our Lady of Willesden. I'm going to read now from a book called The Blessed Virgin Mary in England, A Marian Catechism with Pilgrimage to Her Holy Shrines, Volume 1, written by a brother, Anthony Jose Maria, who is, I don't know whether he still is, he is a Third Order member of the Franciscans of the Immaculate in the United States. So I don't know what his and their particular situation is. I'll move on. But there is a part in this book that speaks about Our Lady's dowry, England's great title of consecration to Mary. It was written by Father Martin Edwards. So why do we speak about England? I believe it's possible England could one day, as a nation, become like an apostle that leads the way, shines by example, and could, if we pray and sacrifice hard enough, re-evangelize even the world. England was once known as the glory of Christendom, the glory of Mary. It shined. It was known as the Isle of the Saints. There were many saints. Many times we only think of the martyrs, but there are kings, queens, many saints, abbots, monks. So let us be inspired to evangelize England, to, let's say, resurrect England that's been dead for centuries. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Sanctifier, to work this miracle of restoration, restoring England to Mary's dowry. So let's learn a little bit about England as Mary's dowry. And given that this radio station is based in England, and I'm sure most of our listeners are those who live in England, this is the country where we have to work as children of Mary in this particular territory of evangelization. So let us pray and let us be aware of this call to evangelize. So we begin. It was not precisely the extent of the fervor of devotion to Our Lady that gained for England the title of her dowry. These alone might have given her a claim. But England's designation as Our Lady's dowry is quite peculiar to herself and suggests some public act on the part of prelates or of kings. That's a quote from Father Thomas E. Bridget, the author of Our Lady's Dowry. So this, I'm reading from a talk given by Father Martin Edwards. It was a talk given in February 2000 at the first International Symposium on Marian Co-Redemption at Radcliffe College in Leicester, England. While on his apostolic visit to England in 1982, Pope John Paul II, and we can use him also as a model, an example of this Marian missionary who came to England, Pope John Paul II gave a series of homilies on the sacraments, the cornerstone of our Christian life. In his homily on baptism, the Holy Father made reference to England's ancient title of Our Lady's Dowry. "Brothers and sisters," the Pope said, "our society needs to recover a sense of God's loving presence and a renewed sense of respect for His will. Let us learn this from Mary, our mother. In England, the dowry of Mary, the faithful for centuries have made pilgrimage to her shrine at Walsingham. Today, Walsingham comes to Wembley, and the statue of Our Lady of Walsingham, present here, lifts our minds to meditate on our mother. Through the rosary, that great gospel prayer, she will help us to know Christ." End quote. Pope Leo XIII and the 1893 reconsecration of England as Our Lady's Dowry. Though Pope John Paul II was the first reigning pontiff ever to visit England, this was not the first time a pope has used that phrase of Our Lady's Dowry in reference to England. In Rome, over 100 years before, Pope Leo XIII addressed a great gathering of pilgrims from England in the following terms: "It pleases us to point out the wonderful filial love which burnt within the hearts of your forefathers towards the great Mother of God, Christ's happy minister in our salvation, to whose service they consecrated themselves with such abundant proofs of devotion that the kingdom itself acquired the singular and highly honourable title of Mary's Dowry." End quote. Pope Leo's words bore quick and abundant fruit. In that same year of 1893, the bishops of England and Wales made an inspiring ceremony of the dedication of England to the Mother of God. Because of its great beauty and theological significance, we should quote the entire prayer of consecration. Nothing that the last part, beginning with "Let us pray," reflects the ancient roots of the English devotion to Mary and is taken from an 8th century prayer found in the Book of Cerne, which belonged to Ethelwald, Bishop of Sherborne, AD 760. So this is the prayer. "O Immaculate Virgin, Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mother of Grace, and Queen of the Kingdom of thy Son, humbly kneeling before thee, we offer thee this country in which we live. It was once thine, before it was robbed of the holy faith. All its children were thy children, and thou wert honoured throughout its length and breadth as its protectress and its queen. Again do we consecrate it to thee. Again do we dedicate it as thy own dowry. We offer our own hearts, that their love and service may ever grow and increase. We offer all our brethren, those multitudes who know thee so little or know thee not at all. May thy prayer bring back the country's ancient faith. May thy intercession lead us to a closer union with thy divine Son. We consecrate ourselves to him through thee. Obtain for us and for England thy dowry, every grace and blessing, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Holy Mother of God, Virgin ever blessed, O Mary Immaculate, pray for us, intercede for us. Disdain not to help us, for we are confident and know for certain that thou canst obtain all thou willest from thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the King of ages, who liveth with the Father and the Holy Ghost for ever and ever. Amen. Now, the question raised is, has England been justly called Mary's dowry, or is it only something sentimental? While the 1893 dedication of England to the Mother of God unleashed a new wave of devotion to Our Lady in England, and while its yearly celebration has been a source of grace and inspiration, the question remains, is this devotion to Our Lady based on sound doctrine? Is England's title of Our Lady's Dowry only a bit of pious rhetoric, or does it reflect a sound theology and a historical truth? Our article is directed precisely to supporting their claim that England has been justly called Our Lady's Dowry. Note from the editor. The word dowry, applied to the spiritual life, signifies a gift of one's will to God. A brief reflection on the meaning of a dowry may thus be helpful. A dowry, from the Latin dotarium, from dos, is a gift or wedding portion. In its most common usage, a dowry refers to money or property that a wife brought to her husband in marriage. Because it is all that she owns, her dowry signifies especially the gift of herself to her husband in lifelong marriage. Of course, it is understood that the husband's reciprocal dowry to his bride signifies not only his perpetual care and support of her, but also the gift of himself and all that he owns. Dowry refers also to a prescribed amount of money, or its equivalent, that was usually brought by a woman for her financial support on entrance into the convent of a religious community, where her purpose is to become a bride of Jesus Christ. If she is faithful to her vows, the bride of Christ receives the superabundant return of our Lord's dowry in return, consisting literally of the gift of himself and everything that he owns. Spiritually speaking, dowry refers especially to the sacrificial gift of our human will to the Lord God in exchange for the dowry of his divine will. This is precisely the meaning in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," wherein the whole of the Christian life is summarized as the mutual gift or dowry exchanged of our human will with the divine will. The image of England as Our Lady's dowry, then, is the image of a whole country consisting of its people, with all their intentions and possessions and the land itself, everything offered as a gift to Our Lady for wedding to her divine Son. Of course, Our Lady is the one who is totally wedded in mystical marriage to her divine Son. The people in turn follow suit by becoming the entire possession of Mary, so as to become the entire possession of Christ, relinquishing entirely their will, their country, everything, to be disposed of according to Christ's will. It is the wedding of the English people through Mary to the will of God, as adopted children of the Father, and therefore as adopted children of Mary, who is the mother of all who would be saved in Jesus Christ. The dowry is offered to and through the mother, signifying a twofold consecration to Mary and to Holy Church. What are the origins and history of the title Our Lady's Dowry? The first recorded use of the term was by Arundel, Bishop of Canterbury. Writing in 1399, he said, "The contemplation of the great mystery of the Incarnation, in which the Eternal Word chose the Holy and Immaculate Virgin, that from her womb he should clothe himself with flesh, has drawn all Christian nations to venerate her, from whom came the first beginnings of our redemption. But we in England, being the servants of her special inheritance and her dowry, as we are commonly called, ought to surpass others in the fervour of her praise and devotion. End quote. Since Archbishop Arundel speaks of England